Okay, well, tonight is question and answers night, and so I have a couple of Bible questions that I'm going to be answering tonight that we'll be studying together this evening. And the first one comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 14 and 15. So let's turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 14 and 15 and read, or 14 through 18, and read those verses together. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 18. It says, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." Well, the questioner asks this question. He says, in 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 15, "Does this also cover the question of marriage between a Christian and a non-believer?" Well, let me see if I can reiterate that question. Some have asked the question in the past whether or not it is being unequally yoked with an unbeliever, excuse me, for a Christian to be married to a non-Christian. And that's the question. Is it being unequally yoked? Because Paul says here specifically, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers," verse 14. So that's the question that we want to try to answer here. Well, first of all, let's think about this terminology, because a lot of times we read the Bible and we don't necessarily understand what the words mean. Well, the word yoke here is a reference to a piece, an instrument that you place on the shoulders of livestock, so that they can pull a load of some kind. So let's say you have two oxen, for example, side by side to each other, and they're pulling a wagon or something like that. Well, in order for them to pull the wagon equally, using all of their strength, they've got to have a yoke on them, and then that yoke centers the effort, or centers the force of the oxen, so that the wagon is just being pulled from one place. You had a rope tied to one ox and a rope tied to the other ox, and it was both those were tied to the wagon, then you wouldn't get an equal pull. You'd get an uneven pull, you know, and your cart would go down crooked and maybe fall off the road, probably bust it up is probably what would happen. So to get an equal pull, you put a yoke on the oxen. And for plowing, they would do the same thing. They would put a yoke on the oxen so that they could plow, pull the plow equally with equal force. Well, an unequal yoke then is where you have one animal doing more work than the other animal because the yoke is skewed to one side or something like that. And so you may have an unequal yoke, and that is causes the burden to be distributed more to one animal than to the other. And so when Paul says, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers," he's talking about burdens. Burdens that are to be carried between two people in a relationship, and an unbeliever would not want to carry the same kind of quote-unquote burdens or responsibilities, maybe we could say, as a believer would be. A believer is committed to a certain course of life. He's going to follow Christ. He's going to seek to live without sin in his life. An unbeliever does not have that desire. That unbeliever doesn't want to live in that way necessarily. And so when there's a believer and an unbeliever in a relationship of some sort, there is an opportunity there for an unequal yoke. Now, What does Paul have in mind in this passage? Well, he's talking about the sin of idolatry in this particular context. And specifically, he's talking about some Christians in Corinth who are having some business deals or maybe some other relationships with people who are idolaters. And those others are tempting these Christians to do things that they wouldn't do because of those relationships. Maybe there's a Christian there in Corinth who's married to an idolater or something. Maybe there's a Christian in Corinth there who has a business relationship with an idolater. Maybe there's a Christian who is courting an idolater or something along those lines. And that puts that relationship into the category of an unequal yoke, is what Paul is trying to get at here. So, the primary application of this verse is in respect to idolatry and not to have dealings with individuals who are idolaters in such a way so that you become yoked to them, connected to them, that is, where you then are bearing most of the burden of the relationship, as opposed to the idolater who is not. So, you know, there were times in the Old Testament and the New Testament where the priestesses of idolatry did some terrible things. And if someone were married to, say, a priestess who was involved in that, that would certainly be an unequal yoke. And I wouldn't think that a person would want to stay in that relationship given what some of the priestesses did in their idolatrous practices. And again, maybe there were some business associates. And Acts chapter 19 in Ephesus, there were some men there who made idols, little idols of Diana. They were silversmiths, and then they sold these idols. Well, you know, a Christian who was, say, a silver miner, for example, would he sell his ore to an idolater, knowing that that ore is then going to be used to make idols and things of that nature to supply idolaters? That might be a relationship that would be better to be avoided as opposed to being pursued. And so there could be a lot of situations, not just marriage, that this particular prohibition, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, covers. Now, how about marriage? What about that? That's what the questioner wants to know. Well, there is a possibility that a Christian could be in a relationship, including marriage, to a non-Christian that is not unequally yoked. I don't think that that relationship necessarily is unequally yoked. It could be, depending upon what the Christian is doing versus what the unbeliever is doing, or it may be equally yoked. There may be a situation where a Christian has a relationship with a believer that is equally yoked. In other words, where that believer isn't putting the Christian in a position of compromising his Christianity. Okay, that's the important thing about this. That's what Paul is trying to get at. If you are in a relationship with an idolater, in essence, what Paul is saying is this: that will compromise your Christianity. And that's what he says here. Christ doesn't have any part with Belial. A believer doesn't have any accord with an unbeliever. Verse 15, in regard to these relationships that are unequally yoked together. Okay? So, the Christian who marries a person who is morally sound does not pose a burden to his or her Christian beliefs or practices, doesn't seem to be falling under Paul's prohibition here. He's not talking about everybody who's a non-Christian. He's just talking about situations where non-Christians create a problem for Christians, where there's an unequal yoke. All right? So, is he prohibiting a Christian to marry a non-Christian? No, he's not prohibiting a Christian to marry a non-Christian. Now, Whether or not that is a wise thing is a different question. But he's not saying it's a sin to do that. He's neither prohibiting a Christian to enter into some kind of business relationship with a non-Christian, as long as that relationship is not unequally yoked, you know, as long as there's a clear understanding there of who's going to do what and what the responsibilities are and how that relationship is going to proceed, and as long as that relationship is not going to impinge upon an individual's Christianity, such as, say, for example, a relationship with an idolater would impinge upon an individual's Christianity. And so this passage, along with all the passages in the Bible, have to be taken all together in context. And another passage that I think is relevant to this passage is 1 Corinthians 5:10, where Paul says that we are not to totally cut ourselves off from unbelievers altogether. He says if you were to do that, then you would have to go out of the world. So what are the relationships that Paul must be discussing here then? They've got to be relationships where a Christian would find himself in a compromising situation in relationship to his or her Christianity. And if that's the case, then a Christian should not enter into that relationship. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. That's the prohibition. So, does that include all marriages? No, it doesn't necessarily include all marriages. Does it include some marriages? Yes, it might include some potential marriages. And I hope that the Christian would be wise enough to recognize that and to step back and to say, you know what? If I enter into this marriage, it's going to cause a problem with my Christianity, and so I better not do it. And that would be a wise course of action to take. Now, does that mean that a person is a sin for a person to enter in? No, I'm not saying that at all. That if a Christian marries a non-Christian, it's not necessarily a sinful situation, and Paul isn't saying that either. He's just simply saying that if there is a situation where he's unequally yoked or she is unequally yoked, that should be something that the Christian does not enter into. Because look, the devil is going to take advantage of the Christian at every opportunity. And if he sees the slightest chink in the armor, you know, he's going to go for it. And he's going to try to bring that Christian down to his level. And so the Christian doesn't want to give the devil an opportunity for those kinds of things. And so the Christian should probably avoid such unequally yoked relationships.